Happy you're here this morning and hope you're ready for God's Word. My watch says it's about 5 minutes till 11, and Pastor said you're always out by 2, so we got plenty of time, right? And so get your Bible, would you? Find Deuteronomy chapter 6, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 6 in your Bible. And I'll give you just a moment to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And if you miss Sunday school, you miss the first part of the message. And we've already been in Deuteronomy 6 for a whole message. And we'll continue there again this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Isn't it great? Isn't it great that God's pro-family? Aren't you glad for that? And to have a family is a wonderful thing and a blessed thing. I was raised in Tennessee, and we were country folks, and just mountain people, country people. My dad's a farmer, and mom was stay-at-home, and we were kids. We were just poor as dirt. We had an outhouse, and just country folks. And yet my mom was saved when she married my dad. My dad became a believer when I was in kindergarten. And he got saved in a revival meeting on a Monday night. Y'all should have been there. It was quite a service. There was this big crowd. There's this evangelist preach, and he said two things in his sermon. He said, you ought to get saved through Jesus. He died for your sins, was buried, and was raised from the dead. And Pastor, boy, he hammered that. You ought to get saved through Jesus. I was in kindergarten. I remember him saying, you ought to get saved through Jesus. You ought to get saved through Jesus. And then he also said, you ought to throw away your TV. Those are two things he preached in that service. He said, you ought to get saved and you ought to throw away your TV. Except he called it a hellavision. You ever heard somebody say that? I was in kindergarten, but I remember that so well. He said, you ought to get saved, you ought to throw away your hellavision. And so my dad, that night, my dad's country as the day is long. He's never taught a Sunday school in his life, never preached a sermon in his life. I don't know if he's ever given a testimony or not. If he has, it's not been much. Very quiet, country, reserved. And they got in that service, you ought to get saved. He said, you ought to throw away your TV. My dad stood up and interrupted the service. My dad, right out loud in the service, said, he's in the back. He said, excuse me, right out loud. Excuse me, said. And everybody, what in the world? And my dad said, I want to get saved. Can I get saved right now? And the preacher looked a little startled and he said, no, sit down. We'll have an invitation in a moment. He didn't say that. I just made that up. He said, all right, come on, my dad. They had a mourner's bench. Anybody here remember the mourner's benches they used to have in church? A place where you could go and pray, and a kneeling bench. And my dad knelt there, got saved that night. My dad got saved in that service and went home and threw away our TV. I hated that preacher. And he came back to town all the time, preached against something else, and we threw that away. I remember one day he came and preached a meeting in our town and preached that you shouldn't have Elvis records. Y'all remember records? If you kids don't know what that is, it's these huge CDs and great big things. He preached you ought not to have Elvis, and my parents went home and broke all of our Elvis records. And I got to thinking, if this guy keeps coming, we ain't going to have nothing left. But what happened was, because of that preacher, God began to work in our family. We had a Christian home. And we went through some troubles. The church we were attending split. You ever been through something like that? It offended my mom and dad. They got hurt. We left church for a while. We were out of church for a while. We didn't have a TV, but we didn't go to church. And I look back at that and chuckle. I mean, we were so strict, but we didn't go to church. And yet I remember my dad went to revival one night. He came home, and that same evangelist was back in town doing a tent revival. And he said to my mom, he said, we ought to go to church. And she said, all right. So we all got in the car and drove out to the tent revival. It was exciting. Y'all know about tent revivals. Country tent. You don't need a TV when you got country tent revivals. Because you don't know what might happen in those. People get happy. Y'all know that term? Or is that a term y'all don't know? If you haven't been in church much, you might not know that. But in the South where I grew up, you got a church, people get happy. They'd sometimes jump up and down and shout and wave a hanky or wave a Bible or a baby or something. And they'd get all excited in the service. They'd have people sing. We didn't sing in those country revivals. We sang. Y'all know there's a difference, don't you? And so we had sang in those meetings, and it was loud and exciting. My mom and dad went to that revival the night. We weren't right with God. We were saved now, but not in church, not the way we should have been. And that preacher preached that night. You ever been in a service where the preacher's preaching, and you know he's nailing somebody's hide to the wall? Is that ever... And you kind of feel sorry for them because you know he's just pummeling them. You know what I mean by that? Has that ever happened? And he was preaching, and boy, he was pummeling my mom and dad. I was just a kid, but I remember it. We were, you know, we weren't in church. We should have been, but we weren't. And he said stuff like this. He said, "You claim to be a good Christian." He said, "You're a sorry, low-down excuse for a good Christian. You don't even go to church. Your kids aren't even in church." He said, "Shame on you." He said, the Lord's embarrassed and Jesus is embarrassed. God's, the Holy Spirit's embarrassed and the devil's happy as a lark." And he said, "You're a sorry." It was brutal. And we got in the car to go home. You all know country folks. When my daddy's in a hurry, he drives 45. And I'm not making that up. He's so funny, my daddy. And so he's putting home in our little Ford Fairmont. We never did have cool cars. A little Ford Fairmont. We're driving home in our little Ford Fairmont. And three of us in the back seat, mom and dad in the front. We're big talkers, our family. My wife's family, they're loud. They hug you and jump up and down when they see you and kiss you. And my family, they don't even get up. You walk in, they just look at you. And they say something like, "Come on in." And so my folks don't talk a lot. We're driving home from that revival. My daddy said to my mom, he said, "Bobby," that's what he called her, it's Barbara. "Bobby," he said, she said, "Uh-huh." "Bobby, uh-huh, I reckon we're going to have to get back in church." My mama said, "Yep." That was the whole conversation. "Bobby, I reckon we're going to have to get in church." "Yep." And boy, we did. Mom and Dad made things right. Our family started growing. My brother got saved because of that. My sister got saved because of that. I got saved because of that. God called me to the ministry. My brother works at Y-12 in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. He's not in ministry, but he got saved and served the Lord that way. My sister, she homeschooled her kids. She stayed home. Her husband works in an electric factory and power plant. And her kids are grown now. Her daughter, my niece, is in Liechtenstein. They're missionaries there. That's where they live. They live there full time. Got a church in Liechtenstein. And why? Because my daddy got saved. And we started growing in the Lord. And because when things weren't right, they went back to church and made things right. And we started growing in the Lord. And I got saved. And my sister got saved. My brother got saved. And now I got five youngins. I'm Dave Young, so my kids are the youngins. Sounds like a bluegrass band, doesn't it? Dave Young and the youngins. But my kids all got saved. Why? Because my daddy got saved and had a Christian family. My kids got saved. Now my daughter and her husband, they serve in a church. And my son and his wife serve in a church, and they're raising our granddaughter. You suppose she's going to get saved? Probably. I would expect that. Why? Because my daddy got saved. And because my daddy got saved, and I got saved, my son got saved, now he's got a little girl, and I think she's going to get saved. If they'll raise her right, you know, she's going to marry some handsome hunk of man somewhere someday, and they can raise a few kids, and they'll know the Lord. Have you ever thought of your family as that important? Your family is so important, church. It's important to a nation to have Christian families. You know why? Our liberal friends are aborting their babies or not having any at all. And what's God's plan for the propagation of the gospel? One of God's plans for the propagation of the gospel in a world is your family. All you got to do is have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids or 12 or however many you want. That's all. Get you a little guy and raise him for the Lord. That little guy right there is teething. And he is, isn't he? He's teething. And he's not happy about my preaching. I'm disturbing his sleep. But now think about that little guy right there. For you know it, was it Ezekiel? Well, Ezekiel right there is going to be a grown man. Before you know it, how many of y'all know that? And so right here is a young couple. And they got a little baby right here in church this morning, teething. And I envy them, don't you? I just miss those days, having a teething baby. But you think about that. For you know it, that little guy right there is going to be grown. But here's the deal. If mom and daddy, they'll train him right, wonder what the future is going to hold for him. He's going to meet him a Christian wife someday and get married, and maybe he'll beat the Duggars and have 22 kids. Wouldn't that be exciting? And the Duggars, they had 22 or however many, and I got one. I know one family that's got 18. I know one family that's got 13. We got five. And who we don't wonder what the future holds for him. And they went into Jesus. Think about his family. He could have four or five kids, and they could all know the Lord. And someday, we're all going to grow up with our kids. You've got to get your kids on the right path and have a Christian family. And here's what he's talking about in Deuteronomy 6. You ready for God's Word? All right, you got your Bible with you? Let's read beginning in verse 1 again. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. What's God's plan for me and you? That we learn His Word and do His Word. How does He say that in the New Testament? Be not hearers only, but be you what, church? Doers of the Word. All right, verse 2 says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. God's plan is that you learn the Word of God so you can fear the Word of God, or fear the Lord your God, so that you can impact your children and your children's children all the days of your life. And verse 3 says that you might do it so it can be well with you and you can increase mightily. That's God's plan for your family. You got to have a Christian family. And you got to work at it. You got to start with you. Now somebody says it's nice to have a family conference, but it's just me now. All right, doesn't leave you out. He says, start with you. Y'all know that whether you got a family or not, you're important in the church. Are you aware of that? And everybody in the church ought to be faithful to the church and serve the Lord in the church and grow in the Lord and be what you ought to be. How y'all doing? You say, well, it's just me now, but are you growing in the Lord? You have a ministry in the church. All of us ought to serve in the church. Is that fair? And so it starts with you. You got to read the Bible every day. Why? Because you need to grow. You got to know God's Word. Why? Because you need to grow. You may not have a family, but there's somebody in your life that needs you to be the real deal Christian so you can show them that Christianity is real and that God is real and that God's Word makes a difference in a life. You got to do that individually. You got to grow. How y'all doing? Are y'all growing? Aren't you glad that we don't stay babies all of our life? Aren't you glad for that? I love babies, don't you? I'd take that little boy in a heartbeat. I mean, after he's done teething. But I'd take him in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? I love babies. Babies are wonderful. People say to us, oh, we have five. And my daughter Abby was born, and 14 months later, we had a little surprise. We had our Josh. We didn't plan to have them that close together, but that was God's plan. So 14 months apart, Abby was this tiny little thing. She was so tiny, it scared me to hold her. 14 months later, Josh was born. He was half grown. She weighed 5 pounds when she was born. He weighed almost 9. And when he was born, I looked at my wife and said, did we do something wrong? You know, is he supposed to be this big? I mean, we were comparing to his sister. And before you knew it, they looked like twins. And folks would say to us, oh my goodness, they'd say, isn't it wonderful? Don't you wish they could stay babies the rest of their life? And I just want y'all to know something. I'd say, for crying out loud, good heavens, no. I want them to grow up, don't you? Grow up, feed yourself, and take care of your... Y'all with me on this or not? And my goal is grow up and leave. That's the plan. That's our plan. Grow up and leave. I want my kids to grow up and leave. Get married and take care of your own family. That's our plan. And here's the whole deal. It's wonderful to have a family. It's great to have a family. You start here like this, and then they start growing in the Lord, and they grow up, and they move on. You got to start with you. You got to start with you, and you got to start with your children, and you got to work on your grandchildren. That's what Moses taught the nation of Israel. So how are you all doing? Are you growing? See, you're growing. So boy's going to grow. That's the plan. And that's how it is spiritually. Are you a better Christian now than you've been in a while? Are you more like Jesus now than you've been in a while? Are you a happy Christian? Do you have victory in your life? Do you have joy in your life? Do you pray every day? Do you pray before you eat? Do you have grace at the table? Papaw. My papaw used to call it grace. Do y'all do that? They'd say, now we're going to say, papaw, you know, we'd all say, now we're all, let's, he'd say, let's say grace. That's all my papaw. We'd sit at the table, let's say grace. And as a little boy, I always wanted to say grace just to see what would happen. But I never did. You know how I know that? You know how you can know that? Because I'm here. So I knew better than that. I wasn't ready to meet Jesus yet. And I, you know, would always sit there and Papa would say grace. Yeah, why? Because he's growing in the Lord. He's a drunk. He's a moonshiner. He's the most brutal man in Morgan County, Tennessee. Mean as the devil. But went to a revival and got saved. Started growing in the Lord. God changed his life because he got saved. My daddy got saved. Daddy was grown, older, and ran away from home not long after Papa got saved. Left home, married my mom. But that old man who couldn't read and couldn't sign his name, didn't know the alphabet, he could pray and got hold of God. And because of that, my daddy got saved. And why? Because my papa was growing in the Lord. You know, everybody's got to grow. And here's where he starts. He starts with you. You got to be saved. Start there. Do you know Jesus is your Savior? Have you been born again through Jesus? How many of y'all know that God is real? Do y'all know that? And how many of y'all know that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and was raised from the dead the third day? Y'all know that? And because of that, you could be saved. You could be forgiven. You could have eternal life. If you don't know Christ, start there. You got to get saved. If you're not growing in the Lord, start there. Some of you daddies are good dads. You're good. You're hard workers. And you love. There's no doubt you love your family, but you're not growing. And daddies, you got to change that. You got to get to God's Word and grow. And you ought to be maturing in your faith. Are you a better Christian now than you've ever been? What word would best describe your life? You grouchy, hard to get along with, uptight, irritated, bothered, frustrated, on edge? Or are you a happy, growing Christian? You always angry? How about it, Mama? You growing in the Lord? I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm asking, are you growing? Are you maturing? It starts with you. Then he says, your sons. What are you doing to help your children to grow in the Lord? Are you walking with God? Are you trying to help your children? Are you training? Are you teaching? Here's what he's talking about in the text. Starts with you. Starts with your sons. What are you doing? How many of y'all are grandparents? Let me see your hand. How many grandparents we have in the room? How many of y'all like your grandkids better than your kids? Anybody here? Most of you. That's interesting. I'm starting to get there myself. Never thought I'd get there, but now that I got Ellie Joy, she's good. I like Ellie Joy. I can play with my granddaughter and send her home. Praise God. And Daddy, you're responsible. I'm just having fun. I just love that. It's a great thing. And here's what the Bible says. Grandparents, we're responsible for our grandkids. Three generations, you, your children, your grandchildren. What are you doing about your grandchildren? You prayed for them lately by name? They learned anything from spiritually from you? You say, well, life's busy, Dave, and my grandkids are a lot of work. I know that, but don't just have them over and sit them in front of a TV. Have a meal and have devotions with them. If your grandkids aren't saved, take them on a fishing trip and try to win them to Jesus. So they don't like to fish. Well, take them hiking and try to win them to Jesus. Take them out to eat. I've never met a kid that didn't like to eat. Take them out to eat. Try to win them to Jesus. See, all of us are to be working on our... Am I making sense? Are y'all with me on this? It's called family development. I got to develop my family. He not only talks about family develop here, notice he talks about family decision in verse 3. All right, he says, observe to do it. You as a family, observe to do the word of God that it may be well with thee. Are you aware of God's word? Family decision. He gives us actually several decisions we ought to make. I suppose verse 2 is a decision we ought to make. We ought to fear God. Y'all see that in verse 2? A Christian family ought to fear God, shouldn't we? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord. You know about fear, don't you? Y'all know about fear? What are you afraid of? Anybody here know about fear? I guess this is the right word. I suppose this is true. I'm afraid of spiders. And I don't know why, but I just don't like spiders. I don't believe in spiders. I'm against spiders. Are y'all with me on this? Anybody hear on my side about that? Spiders like me. There's one in my bed the other night. My wife was making the bed. The other morning, my wife was making the bed and then screamed. My wife's famous for that. She's very, very vocal and you know, and she'll... Just that way. And she all of a sudden, she's just in the bedroom making the bed, and she just screamed bloody murder, and I hit the floor. What in the world, you know? She said, there's a spider in the bed. We had to burn that thing down. I'm just kidding. I don't like spiders. I was shaving one morning, back when I did that. And shaving one morning, and I was at a camp in Tennessee. I was in their guest apartment shaving. And it's early. I'd been up late and up early and half asleep and rinsing off my razor, and something tickled my neck. And I reached for it, and I looked in the mirror, you know, and there's a wolf spider crawling up my neck. I just want you all to know two things. Number one, I'm a pretty good break dancer in situations like that. And I didn't know I could do that. And number two, the Lord called that thing home. And I just want you to know, it met Jesus fast. Are y'all with me on that? Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, really, if you do a word study about it, think it over, and compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll find that fearing God means that you have a reverence for Him. And it means that you have such an awareness of Him and a reverence of Him that it impacts the way you live your life. Is God that real in your life and in your family? God's here. God's here. Are you aware of that? God's real. Are you aware of that? God knows everything. Are you? Fear the Lord means you got an awareness of Him, a reverence for Him. Are you all there? Do you live your life with when you sit down to eat, are you aware? You know what? God's been good to us. Boy, look at what all we've got to eat. That's the fear of the Lord. It's an awareness. It's a reverence for Him because He's real and He's there. It's an awareness of God in your life. Is God real in your home? When you're aware of God, it changes how you speak to each other, doesn't it? When you're aware God is here, that'll affect what you watch on TV, won't it? Now, y'all know this, don't you? It's not wrong to have a TV. Do y'all know that? I feel like a liberal when I say that. Because that preacher when I was a kid said, you ought not to have one. And yet I read my Bible from cover to cover. I've read it on how many times. I've never found a verse that says, thou shaltest notest havenest a televisionist. I've looked for it. Now, the Bible does say, doesn't it? I will set no wicked things before my eyes. Does the Bible say that? So when God is there, God's in our home, God is real, it might affect what I do at the table. I'm going to pray at this table because God's sure been good to me. So that's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord might be when I'm sitting in my living room, we're just watching, it's fun, it's worse, we're relaxing, watch. We're not trying to be evil, we're not trying to be wicked, we're just watching TV. And the next thing you know, there's somebody taking God's name in vain. Next thing you know, there's some bedroom scene. This couple's not married and they're shacked up together. They're committing adultery. Well, wouldn't that affect what I do if God's there? Got to turn that off, kids. We can't watch that. What a time for devotions. Can't watch that, kids, because what their dads... I didn't know that was in there, kids, and I'm sorry. But here's what the Bible says about that, and that's why this is wrong. We can't watch that. I love football. I'm a big football fan. I'm a Tennessee Volunteer fan. Y'all with me on that? I got a few friends that are Mountaineer fans. I have a friend down in Weston bought me a Mountaineer shirt. He actually offered me money if I'd wear it to a men's prayer advance. And I did. I wore it under my Tennessee shirt. My Tennessee half-zippered shirt. I wore it under there. I wore it for him. He offered me money. He's never paid. He lied to me. Y'all pray for him. He needs revival. See, I love football. I love to watch football. If you're watching football and next thing you know, there's a beer commercial. Well, the fear of the Lord might determine what you do about that, wouldn't it? It's not that we're trying to be weird. We're trying to be Christians and have a Christian family. So all we do when a beer commercial comes on in our house, well, there's two things we do. We switch the channel and we say a verse. Why? Because we fear the Lord. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I'm not trying to be weird. I'm trying to let my kids know they're lying to you in that beer commercial. They won't show you the drunk that killed somebody last night or molested his children or beat up his wife. They can't show you the truth about alcohol. Of course they're going to make it look glamorous. So you got to teach. See, we fear the Lord. So when the you'll forgive me for saying this, won't you? People get upset about this kind of stuff in our culture. But when a cheerleader comes on and she's dressed like she's working in some gentleman's club, when she's dressed like that, what do? We fear the Lord. We got to switch that channel. We got to have devotions. How many times we've said in our family, dial 311. Well, what do we mean? What? Job 31:1. Job 31:1, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. So I'm not going to think about that young girl. See, what we're having devotions. Why? Because we fear the Lord. You see how God wants us to live in real time? Having a Christian family is not, all right, kids, get out of bed. We're going to church and we're going to sit here and hear the preacher. That's part of it. Get out of bed, go to church, and sit there and hear the preaching of God's Word. Get your Bible open, take notes, and grow in the Lord. But God wants you to live a Christian life when you're watching TV, when you're walking through the mall, when you're driving down the interstate and there's a billboard that's inappropriate. I saw one yesterday driving up the interstate, an inappropriate billboard advertising some gentleman's club. Nothing gentleman about it, and you know that. Shame on a man that would go into a place like that and demean women like that. Shame on a man that would do that. There's a billboard advertising one of those girls, and right there, brilliant, on the side of the interstate. You see, what do you got to do? You got to fear the Lord. Job 31:1. I made a covenant with my eyes, God. You know what I prayed? God, I don't know who she is. She needs you, Lord. Every time I pass one of those places, I say, now, Lord, save those people and burn that down. Why? Because we fear the Lord. God, save those people. Burn that down. I got that from a pastor friend of mine in Pennsylvania. There's a beer joint down at the foot of the hill below his church. And every time his kids drove by it, they'd be with me in the car. They were just little things. And they'd say, oh, Lord, save Mr. So-and-so, and burn down that beer joint. Oh, Lord, save me. Let's get the Lord save us and burn that down. Lord, save and burn that down. And you know what? Mr. So-and-so got saved, and the Lord burned that place down. I said, kids, would you pray for me a new truck? Because there was no doubt God was answering their prayers. That beer joint burned to the ground. And Mr. So-and-so got saved. He got saved. His son got saved. God answered their prayer. Why? What are we talking? I'm talking about living in the fear of the Lord. That's what he says here. You got to fear. This is a Christian family. Are you all following me or not? This is a family. You got to develop your family. That's family development. You got to have a family decision here. Fear the Lord. Don't be offended. You say, well, I don't care about any of that. Well, I can't help you with that. But some of us in here, we want to have godly families, don't we? So you got to fear the Lord. Make that. You teenagers, fear the Lord. I know if you've got a smartphone, mine's laying over there. If you've got a smartphone, there's all kinds of garbage available on a smartphone now. And some of you teens know that. And you weren't trying to be inappropriate, it just found you. We're living in a godless hour, a wicked hour. Kids, you've got to fear the Lord. You've got to say, you know what, this isn't right. This is shame on me for looking at that this isn't right. God, I'm sorry. You got to cry out to God for help. And moms and dads, it's not just teens in our generation. It's adults. It's moms and dads and grandfathers and grandmothers. We got to fear the Lord. Am I making sense here or not? Are you making any decisions to help your family to be a Christian family? You got to fear the Lord. That's the first thing he says. And then notice he says this in verse 4. What do you think about this verse? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? Now what does he mean by that? All right? Well, it's theological. You know that, don't you? There's only one God. Is that what we can learn from this? There's one God. There's not many gods, and every path leads to God. No, there's one God. There's one God. He's one Lord. He's the Creator. He's Jehovah. He is the Great I Am. He is King of Kings. There's one God. But what's the point of that? Why did he say that in the middle of this passage about the family? He says, now look, here's what you got to do. You got to raise your son. You got to do what's right and fear the Lord and learn the Word of God and live. And you got to help your sons to fear the Lord and learn the Word of God and live the Word of God. And you got to help your grandchildren to know the Lord and fear the Lord and learn the Word of God and live the Word of God. And he says, the Lord our God is one Lord. Does that seem a lot of place to you? It's a little unusual in the sense of, he's talking about the family here, but he says in the midst of this text about the family, the Lord our God is one Lord. What's he trying to say there? Well, he's trying to give you a theological truth. There's only one God. Don't ever forget that. And he's real. And he knows everything. That's true, isn't it? And he's God Almighty, and he's all-powerful. He's God. But one of the points he's trying to make there is, he's got to be first in your life. The Lord our God is one Lord. It's got to be first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You all know that verse? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. What's that all about? The Lord our God is one Lord. He wants to be first in your life. Is God first in your life, Daddy? Is God first in your life, Mom? You single folks, God first in your life, teenagers and adults? Grandparents, is God first? Don't let your older years become colder years. Keep God first in your older years. You say, well, I don't have the health I used to have. That's what happens. You live in a sin-cursed world, so expect that. But your health can fail, and spiritually you can be on fire for God. Is that right or wrong? You can't sleep anymore, don't rest well, but you can still be on fire for God. See? You say, I don't have the energy you used to have. Yeah, but you can still be on fire for God. You can still pray up a storm. You can still read your Bible every day. You can still go soul winning. You can still pray over your children. You can still try to help your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. Don't let your older years become colder years. Keep God first. Don't let your parenting fail. Keep God first. The Lord our God is one Lord. Can I ask you this? Is there any evidence, how much time do I have? Is there any evidence in your life that God is first? Would it show up in any way, shape, or form with your entertainment? Is God first? Do we have DVDs anymore? If you had a DVD collection of your favorite movies, would it say God is first? If having a family altar was making God first, would there be any evidence that God is first in our homes? If praying for your spouse or your parents or your children or your grandchildren by name every day meant God was first, would there be evidence that God is first in our lives? If praying at the table and being grateful for the blessings God has given to us was evident that God was first, is there evidence that God is first in our lives? Simple question, isn't it? It's about family decision. There's one more thing I got to show you, and I'll close, all right? There's a family development here. You, your sons, and your son's sons, we're responsible for our children, ourselves, our children, our grandchildren. That's family development. There's a family decision. I got to fear God and keep God first. There's a family devotion here. Look at verses 5, 6, and 7. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That's a wonderful verse. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Notice it's individual. Then it's family. Verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Talk about them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What's he talking about right here? He's talking about family devotion. And he says that a family devotion is that I love God and I love his word and I live his word. I love God and I love his word. I love God and I love his word. Y'all see that or not? That's family devotion. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might? You know what that means, don't you? It means I serve God and I obey God happily. It means I know God is good and I just adore Him. It means I recognize His goodness and I'm grateful for it. I love the Lord. It's real. You know that. Aren't you glad for love? Don't y'all appreciate love? How many of y'all believe in love? Do y'all believe in love? Anybody here in love? Anybody here in love? Three of you? Ooh, boy, we need this conference, don't we? I'm in love. I'm happily married. I'm in love with Bethany Joy. I'm just in love with her. We're on our honeymoon. Our goal in life is to have the world's longest honeymoon. So we have 5 honeymoon babies. And we said, Lord, let's keep this honeymoon going. Let's just stay in love. You know what I mean by that, don't you? See, it's not cold. God doesn't want this some cold, sterile environment type thing. It's not, all right, we're Christians. We don't do nothing. That's not the idea. Oh, I'm a Baptist. I don't watch anything. And that's not, God doesn't want it to be some cold, ritualistic, dead thing. He wants it to be full of love. Love's amazing, isn't it? Amen. Love is incredible, isn't it? I love being in love. You teenagers, I hope you fall in love. And I hope you fall, guys, I hope you fall in love with just this beautiful, godly, Christian, amazing girl. And all the days of your life, you're just overwhelmed with being in love. Because being in love is just amazing. Girls, I hope you meet a handsome, hunk of man. And I just hope you fall in love. Love is amazing, isn't it? Come on, y'all, women, you're not. Isn't it great to be in love? Isn't it great to be married? See, this is not some cold ritualistic. It's all right, you know what? If I'm going to be a good husband, I know I'm supposed to talk to my wife. Sweetheart, I'm going to give you 30 minutes every day. Go. These are your 30 minutes because I love you. Well, that'd be the dumbest thing in the world, wouldn't it? No, because we love each other, we go on dates and talk. Because we love each other, we walk together every day. We're together and just talk. She drinks hot tea. I'm more spiritual. I drink coffee. She'll get a cup of tea. I'll get a cup of coffee. We just talk. We pray over our children. We prayed last night together on the phone. She's home with our kiddos in Florida right now, celebrating my son's birthday. We prayed last night on the phone. Why? Because I love her. I've already been thinking about what I'm going to buy her next week's Mother's Day. That might help some of you guys. You're welcome. I've already been thinking, what am I going to buy her? I went online last night. Pastor gave me a password to Wi-Fi. I went online last night and looked up some stuff. Should I buy her that? Why am I? Because I love her. See, God doesn't want us to say, okay, we're going to church for crying out loud. We don't do anything. We're not going to watch that for crying out loud. I can't wear that. Shame on us. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He's been so good to us, hasn't He? How many of y'all blessed up one side and down the other? Anybody here like that? How many of y'all have more food to eat than you know what to do with? Anybody here like that? How many of y'all have clothes you haven't worn forever, but they're still in your closet because you're so stinking blessed? Come on, just talk to me. Am I right or wrong? How many of y'all have a nicer car than you deserve? Anybody here like that? I'm telling you, look what he says. Look, I'm almost done. Look, I promise I'm almost done. Look what he says in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 10. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which you didn't build. I'm paraphrasing here, but you just follow along. Houses full of all good things, and you didn't fill them. Wells digged, and you didn't dig those. Vineyards and olive trees that you didn't plant. When you shall have eaten, and the King James says, and be full. You know what the Bible says right there? He said, you know, God's going to be so good to you, you're going to live in a house you didn't build and eat food that you didn't plant and drink water from wells that you didn't dig. In fact, you're going to be so blessed, you're always going to be full. Wonder who he's talking about. We saw the nation of Israel. I feel like he's talking about me. I've never dug a well in my life, but I've never been without water. I didn't even plant a garden last year, but I had plenty to eat. My brother gave me half of his beef. That's a good brother, don't y'all think? Praise God. And it's Black Angus. So he said, you eat venison? No, I got beef. I'm not opposed to venison, but I got a freezer full of beef. I live down by the Gulf of Mexico. Here in a few weeks, I'm going to go out and do some red snapper fishing. I just led my neighbor to the Lord, and he's got a 39-foot boat. I've been working on him for 10 years. And he just got baptized in our church. He's going to take me. See, he's going to take me fishing. See, isn't God, am I blessed or what? Has God been good? God's been good to me. See, it's not like, oh my goodness, here I am a Christian. We're going to try to raise these hoodlums for God. No, I love the Lord. That's the point is, man, God, you're so good to me. I'm always full. I can't explain that to you, but that's the truth. I have never in my life eaten a meal because I'm hungry. I mean, I say I am. Now, you do, you know, I think I'm hungry. Seriously. I could lose 10 pounds and still be just fine. You heard that saying, didn't you? One guy said in 2022, he said, my goal in 2022 was to lose 10 pounds. And this year he said, praise God, I've only got 15 to go. Y'all see that? Some of y'all identify, don't you? I was in Haiti preaching. We planted a church in Haiti. And we left the service. We had a glorious service one night. We're in the middle of a way up in the mountains in this little village. There's no electricity in that village. Those people are poor, literally poor as dirt. We prayed for 50 people. We wanted 50 people to come to that service that night. We had 405 show up. They crawled out of those hills, lined up to sing. Boy, the singing was lively. They stomp when they sing. Oh, it was exciting. 405 people, they sang. I preached the gospel that night. We had a generator, little Honda generator, and put a light bulb above my platform. We ran a wire over there with a naked light bulb attached to it. And they all came. They're all Haitian. I couldn't see them unless they smiled, and I could see their teeth in the light. Seriously, it was just all standing here in the dark. I gave the gospel that we had 54 people saved that night. We planted Berean Baptist Church with those 54 people. And I was driving out of that mountain that night. I was on cloud nine. Praise God. The Lord showed up. Heaven came down. The gospel was preached. Souls got saved. My friend said to me, he said, "You want to get a bite to eat? We're going down to Gonaive, little village down there. You want to get a bite to eat?" I said, I don't know if I'm hungry or not. He said to me, "What's that got to do with it?" And I never thought of that. What does it got to do? I don't eat because I'm hungry. I eat because I'm full. That's what Moses said. It's going to come a day in your life. God's going to be so good to you that you're not going to be hungry. You're going to drink water from wells you didn't dig and live in houses you didn't build, or you'll follow me or not this morning. That's why we love the Lord. Aren't you men glad God gave you a wife? Love the Lord together and serve the Lord. You got children, love the Lord. This is not some cold environment. Oh my goodness, we got to go to church and sit in church, and if we don't, pastor will call us. See, no. No, it's like, isn't the Lord good to me? I get to serve the Lord and love the Lord and walk with God. And see, this is devotion, a family devotion about loving God. You know what your children need to see in you, Daddy? A happy Christian who loves the Lord. Mommy, you know what your kids need to see? A happy Christian who loves the Lord. Love Him. Get all in for God. Love Him. And then love His Word. I'll probably have to come back tonight because I'm out of time. But you got to love His Word. Read it every day. Bring your Bible to church and open your Bible and take notes and love the Word of God. Learn it. Hide it in your heart. He says you learn it so you can teach it diligently to your children. And notice, and I promise I'll finish. Notice he's talking about family devotions here. And I believe in the family altar. Do you all believe in that or not? I believe it's good for a family to pray every day together and read the Bible every day together. But in Moses' teaching here, he said, here's how you have family devotions. What you do, you do it formally. Get yourself a podium if you want to and bring them in. Come on, kids. Sit down. We are going to learn God's Word. Now we're Baptists, so let's take up an offering. I mean, you can get all formal about all you want to. But here's what Moses said, and let's close right here. Here's what Moses said. Moses said, what you do is this. When you're walking through life with your kids, and you're just walking through life, here's what you do. You talk about God and His Word. That's family devotions. And you're walking through life. And you go to your house, and you go in your house, and you sit down in your house. Wonder what we're doing. We're sitting in our house. Maybe watching TV or scrolling Facebook. Or what does he say you do when you're sitting in your house? Talk about God's Word. And what do you do when you put your kids to bed every night? Oh, here's what Moses said. You talk about God's Word. What do you do when you get them out of bed in the morning? Talk about God's Word. In other words, in real life situations, you talk about. You're watching Andy Griffith. How many of y'all believe in that? And Otis stumbles in. He's drunk. Go lock himself in jail. Seriously? That's the dumbest part of Andy Griffith's show. A drunk doesn't lock himself up in jail. It's funny, but what a time for family devotion. Hey, kids, that's not true. That's fake. Kids, don't ever forget, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and you're a fool if you mess with it. It's the Bible says, kids. See, it's not being weird. It's just right there in real life, teaching your kids the Bible. It's just in real life. I was standing in a cornfield one day. I confess I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And I love order. just how God made me. I like things parallel. I like things symmetrical, centered, balanced. I like my white shirts right here, my blue shirts right there. My socks all have to be folded the same direction. I'm a little weird that way. It's just how God made me. As a little boy, I was standing with my daddy in a cornfield. And the little corn shoots were about that tall. Long, parallel rows. They were beautiful. They were just beautiful. Perfectly parallel. All you could see was just long, little green lines of corn coming up. I said to my daddy, Daddy, isn't that beautiful? My dad looked at me. I remember this. I remember he looked down at me. Looked at me. Just looked at me. And he said, you know, son, it is. It is. That's nice. He said, you know, it's my dad now. You know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. It's my dad. The Bible says you reap what you sow. He said, son, we did a lot of work on this field. I plowed it. I dissed it. I sprayed it. I bought all that corn seed. I planted it. We did a lot of work. And God's making it come up just like he said he would. And then my dad reached around and touched me on the shoulder. And he said, son, be careful what you plant in your life. Because it'll come up. As a little boy, standing in a cornfield, having family devotions. Are y'all with me on this or not? How are y'all doing at your family? I could give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, try this, try that. But Moses is far better at it than I am. Moses said, look, God wants you to develop your family. God wants you to make decisions that will impact your family. And God wants your devotions to impact your family. So what could you work on to improve your home in a Sunday morning in Bridgeport, West Virginia? Before we go, is there anybody here and you know the fact of the matter is you need to be saved? Can I tell you, my dear friend, everybody needs a Savior. And Jesus died for our sins and He was buried and He was raised from the dead. Can't go to heaven because you go to a Baptist church or a Catholic church or an Episcopalian church. You've got to be born again through Jesus. And we'd love to pray with you about it. It's time to go and have lunch. But before you leave today, would you consider Christ? Would you think about getting saved today through Jesus, being born again, your sins washed away? I'll stand right here. I'm going to invite families to pray today. It may be that as an individual you need to grow. And why don't you consider kneeling today? Either make an altar here somewhere at the front or pray at your seat or kneel at your seat. But would you on purpose pray about your specific self? Would you pray about your marriage and your children especially? Some of you, would you pray about your grandchildren? All of us could pray about an area in our family, couldn't we? An invitation, you know, is a time for prayer. So I invite you to pray about your family. I invite you to be saved if you don't know Jesus. Come meet me right here. She'll come play a piano in a moment. And she's going to get ready and play a piano. When she hits the first note, come on, I'll pray with you. You can leave this building today on your way to heaven. You can. So if you want to be saved, come on. And the last thing is this. You might have come to church today with a burden in your heart. Just a real burden in your heart. This is a time for prayer. Don't leave till you've taken your burden to the Lord. This is a time for prayer. Would you stand quietly? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've listened to me real well this morning as I've preached more from Deuteronomy 6. She's going to hit the first note, and as soon as she begins to play, would you pray if God's speaking to you? Would you consider Christ? Would you consider believing on Jesus and being? Is there a teenager here today? And son, you've never been saved. Sweetheart, you've never been saved. Would you come let me pray with you and get that settled today? Any teenager here needs to be saved? Any man? Don't be offended by anything I preach today. Just let God work in your heart. if you disagreed with me on something, that's okay, but let God work in your heart. He loves you. He cares about you. If I can pray with you at all, meet me here at the front. I'll pray with you. I'll just mute the microphone. We'll pray together. If you need prayer with someone, pastor's here as well. We'd be happy to pray with you. Is there anybody at all who needs to be saved, or am I missing that? Would you come on down here and let me lead you to Jesus? Pray with you? Anybody at all? Come on. You teenagers know for sure you're saved. If you don't, come on, let me pray with you about it. Ma'am, sir. She's just going to keep playing while we're praying. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of y'all that are standing know for sure you're saved? Can I see your hand? Know for sure Jesus is your Savior? Let me see your hand. God bless you. Anybody here, just raise your hand. Say, Dave, there's a need in our family, and it's huge. I feel like it'd take a miracle. Pray with me this week about a need in my family. It would take a miracle, but pray with me about it. Let me see your hand. I'll pray with you about it.